Chapter 17. It's just after 10 a.m., and I'm already having a really bad day. I tried calling Bob a few minutes ago, but he didn't answer. I wonder if he knows. I'm in the gym, sitting at the puzzles and games table, tasked with transferring the red plastic beads from the white cereal bowl on my right to the invisible cereal bowl on my left with the spoon I'm holding in my left hand. My right arm is bent at the elbow and wrapped in a sling, immobilized against my chest. Constraint-induced therapy is supposed to help me resist the urge to use my right hand. And because we've eliminated the competition, this is supposed to help me feel more comfortable choosing to use my left hand. But mostly, it just makes me feel like a woman with no arms. Even before I had to face straitjacket therapy, I was feeling upset and utterly demoralized. After some meeting my medical team had without me earlier this morning, it was decided that I will be going home in 3 days. It actually wasn't so much decided by them as it was ceremoniously rubber-stamped. My insurance carrier, figured out long before my accident, through some cost-benefit outcome analysis, not unlike the kinds of analyses many of the Berkeley consultants are likely running on Excel spreadsheets for various companies right now, that I'd be going home in 3 days. It was predetermined by the intersection of some billing code and the code for my medical condition, with only marginal consideration given to my progress or lack thereof. Or maybe it was determined all along by the intersection of Venus retrograde in Scorpio. Whatever the faceless bureaucratic or mystical reason, this is my fate. I'm going home in 3 days. While my medical team delivered the good news to me in super cheery voices and faces dressed in community theater smiles, I sat silent, stunned, expressionless. Here I am, sitting in a rehabilitation bed in a rehabilitation hospital, working hard every day in my rehabilitation sessions, all the while thinking I would be here until I was rehabilitated. As it turns out, this was never the case, and the joke's on me. Here's what I learned this morning. In the world of rehabilitation hospitals, if a patient's condition is slipping downhill, the patient stays. Everyone believes we must save her. Alternatively, if the patient is making significant strides towards wellness, the patient stays. Everyone hopes we can still save her. Acceleration, either up or downhill, means more rehab. But standing still, with nothing but miles of flat terrain on the horizon, means the patient is going home. Everyone agrees, don't waste your time, she can't be saved. If the road to recovery plateaus, insurance will no longer pay the bill, which, by the way, is about as steep as the hill I've been trying to climb. I should be thrilled. I'm going home in 3 days, in time for my wedding anniversary and Christmas. I'm going home. I've been praying for this day. I should feel triumphant. But instead, knots of terrified uncertainty are pulling tight inside my stomach, and I feel like throwing up. They're done with me here. My insurance company has deemed that my rehabilitation effort here is no longer a wise investment. She can't be saved. This can't be it. There has to be more for me. I can walk on my own, but barely, and only if I use the cane they gave me. The cane they gave me is one of those hospital-grade, stainless steel granny canes, the kind with the 4 rubber-capped feet. My cane is wearing Crocs, for God's sake. Not cool. There's nothing subtle about my quad cane. It's a cane that screams, "Look out! I have a serious brain injury!" I hate it, and I want to learn to walk without it. I still can't read the left side of a page without lots of correcting and prompting and reminding to use my L-shaped red bookmark. Scan left, find the left margin, keep going until you find the red bookmark. I'm still not getting dressed without assistance. I need help with brushing my teeth and showering. How am I going to take care of my kids and my house? How am I going to do my job? I can't even release the spoon I'm holding in my left hand without professional coaching. I want the insurance analyst who determined my length of stay to come over here right now and look me in the eye while I point my spoon at his head and threaten, "Do I look rehabilitated to you?" Martha explained to me that I'll continue working at home on the techniques I've learned here. Heidi assured me that I'll meet with other therapists doing the same kind of work on an outpatient basis. Dr. Nelson, the doctor here who oversees my care, said, "The brain's a funny thing. You never know. and he went to medical school for these words of wisdom. None of what they're telling me sounds like good news. It all sounds a bit vague and dismissive, less intensive, less committed to my progress, less committed to a belief in my progress. It sounds like I'm no longer on the road to recovery. It sounds instead like I've been detoured onto some slow, crappy, dead-end road that leads to an abandoned, boarded-up building where everyone has given up on me. The knots inside my stomach twist and squeeze. I lose my concentration and spill a spoonful of red beads. The beads spin and bounce and roll off the table. As I listen to them scatter across the linoleum floor and consider the thought of scooping out another spoonful, the twisting and squeezing dissolves into an acidic, hot anger, scorching a hole through my stomach, seeping into every inch of me. I can even feel it burning into my left hand. I want to throw the spoon, but I can't undo my own kung fu grip, so instead I squeeze the spoon as hard as I can, and I feel my fingernails dig into the tender palm of my hand. It hurts, and I think I might even be bleeding, but I can't unfold my hand to see. I'm not doing this anymore. I want to go back to my room. It's okay. Just load another spoonful. You're doing great, says Martha. What's the point? How is this ridiculous task going to change anything? Why don't I just go home today? What is 3 more days in this prison going to do for me? Nothing. It's been determined. She can't be saved. My face is flushed and sweaty, and hot tears fill and sting my eyes. I want to wipe the tears away, but my right hand is unavailable, and the best I could hope for from my left hand would be a poke in the eye with a spoon. I want to go back to my room, I say, my voice cracking. Come on, let's finish this first. You can do it. I don't want to. I don't feel good. She doesn't look well, says my mother. What doesn't feel good? Asks Martha. My stomach. Martha checks her watch. It's almost lunchtime. You think food will help? No, I do not think a crappy cafeteria lunch will help. I shrug. She checks her watch again. Okay, with the time we have left, how about you walk back to your room with your cane and your mom, and I'll go get you an early lunch and meet you there. That sounds great. I'll spend the next 20 minutes walking a length of a corridor that should take me 30 seconds. Helen, will you help her out of the sling and guide her back to her room? Sure, says my mother. Martha eyes my hand still clutching the spoon. I'll get you some soup. My mother works my right arm out of bondage, hands me my granny cane, and we begin the journey back to my room. I have no more positive attitude. No more fist, no more fight. I have no interest in accepting or accommodating. I have a brain injury that has not healed and no promise that it ever will. I used to have a full and successful life. Now what do I have? I have a granny cane in one hand and a spoon in the other. And 3 more days.